You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:20 a.m. A nice early start on Wednesday. Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott will be the team in the studio. It's all weather racing at Lingfield. National Hunt action from Ludlow and Newbury in the afternoon and all weather action in the evening as well from Kempton Park. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
You always time that so beautifully, Mark.
Oh, years of practice, Roscoe.
Well, it's nice to see. It's nice to see you learning.
Thanks.
So, no, I'm all right. Yeah. You know, like I said, 11:20 start.
It's a very early start, isn't it?
I'll be out of bed. I will, actually. I'll be on... Oh, hang on, I'm doing a TV shift.
You really should be out of bed.
I won't be having lunch.
Well, there's a gap, isn't there, between the front two, I think.
Well...
Squeeze a sandwich in there.
Between my teeth. Winter, eh? Oh, love it. Absolutely love it. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah. We've had a chat before about your dislike of winter. I don't think we should get into it again.
Well, I genuinely did. Like, for example, this. I've had to, you know, sometimes you can get up, go downstairs, have some breakfast, have a cup of coffee, sit in front of the laptop, and you realise, oh, I haven't been outside since, you know, yesterday afternoon or whatever. So now I've sort of, you know, get out for a bit of fresh air in the morning. But like this morning, you go out and it's darker outside than it is in, and it's almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
So I'll just go and stand in the shower for 10 minutes with the light on, and just pretend I'm in a tropical waterfall.
That's not weird at all.
it's quite nice to have a pina colada. Get someone to come in and take some photos.
All the holiday brochure action shots where it looks like you're having a really good time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Uploading to Instagram. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, superb. Anyway, let's get stuck into some racing chat. We'll start with a quick look back at yesterday, actually, or Monday as we record this, because we had grade two action on a Monday, which is fantastic.
Yep.
And an impressive winner as well in the shape of Felix Jonger. Obviously, talking about him taking on Underso in the champion chase on the back of that. Do you think he can get anywhere near?
No. he's a decent horse on his day, and in particular, you know, bounding around 2 miles at the moment, it seems to be his perfect conditions. He beat a couple of half decent horses. Hidden Cyclone's not the horse he was. Bright New Dawn again is another consistent without being particularly flashy animal. Days Hotel, Twin Light, not really. No, he's going around beating up the same old performers. And while he was impressive, and it probably was pretty much a career best, I still think he's a 9 year old who's probably going to peak at this level. So no, I don't. I think it's going to be a bit of an ask, I would say.
Well, he did. He showed that he can handle the more undulating tracks in the testing ground. You know, that would have been a concern in the past, but
yes.
He showed that he's got the attitude to deal with it.
Yeah, he's developed a consistent profile, which he never really had. But it's a long way to go to mixing it with the very top of the tree, I think.
All right. So that's one of the highlights from earlier on in the week. We've got some good stuff coming up at the weekend as well. We'll just have a quick look at some of the anti-post markets for those. The long walk hurdle in particular. Safety Row is 7-4 at the top of the market with us. 9-4 for Thistle Crack. Rev de Civilla is 7-2. 10-1 for Deputy Dan and 12-1 our bigger prices for the others. Obvious comparisons between Safir de Roer and Big Bucks, who won the long walk hurdle on a couple of occasions, owned by the same people, trained by Paul Nichols, bought a chase campaign for the time being. Is he a good thing at 7-4 though?
No, not necessarily, no. But that's because I absolutely love Thistle Crack. I think he's a wonderful horse. He's progressed at a rate of knots. He really impressed with the way he won a couple of novice hurdles last year. And the way he won at Ascot, he came out of the clouds to win under Ruby Walsh. And it was such a an eye-catching performance. And then backed it, had a decent bet on him at Sandown in a big handicap hurdle, four places in, I think it was the Imperial Cup or something similar. I can't remember now, it's that long ago. Yeah, it was the Imperial Cup. And of course, he finished fifth. But then he came out and won a grade one at 25-1 next time out. And if I'd had the same bet on him that day as I would have done the Imperial Cup, I might not be sat here talking to you. But again, since then, he's gone on to finish second to Kuloltevic at Punchestown, and he bolted up at Newbury the other day. I think he is the best three-mile hurdler around at the moment, and I don't see why Safir de Rho is favourite. So I think Thistlecrack is a great bet.
All right.
I just really like him. I just think there's so much more to come. He hasn't run a bad race. Colin Tizard's having a good time of it with, he's got a couple of real stable stars and flag bearers, and I think the Safir de Rho factor, to an extent, is, as you said, thinking this is big bucks all over again. I mean, obviously he's a very good horse.
Yeah. Also, the fact that Paul Nicholls said he's got the speed of a Corto star and the heart of a Denman and all that stuff. And
listen.
Yeah.
And he could win an Unthorpe and
yeah. So that kind of, it all adds to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but I just really like Thistlecrack. He's won at the track as well. I just think there's loads to like about him. So, no, I don't think he's a good thing. I think Thistlecrack will most likely be the nap on Saturday.
All right. One other thing with Safir de Rho as well. Just, does it come into you with the fact that he's running the Hennessy on testing ground off top weight? That's going to have taken something out of him, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, last year's Hennessy worked out quite well, but there's a couple of years before that where it was a real slog and a detriment, if anything. Mm. During the Denman years as well, horses would come out a few weeks later and look like they'd just been in a barroom brawl, and that has to be a worry. That was only 2 or 3 weeks ago, whereas Thistlecrack was skipping clear and winning very nicely on that day. Safir de Rho was having a bit of a heavy time, so yeah, that would have to come into consideration.
Mm. All right, then, Thistlecrack for Ross in the Long Walk Hurdle. Plenty to look forward to this weekend. We'll move on to that throughout the week. Also, I just want to quickly get your thoughts on the William Hill King George VI Chase, Ross. Not too far away now. Plenty in the news at the start of this week about Don Cossack and Vator. Don Cossack heading the market at 5-2, Vator 3-1, 92 Q card, Koenigsegg 7s, 8s for Sylvaniaco Conti and Smad Place, and 14s or bigger for the others. We'll go through a few of these stories one by one. Gordon Elliott saying that he's mainly worried about Vator. Do you think he should be?
Well, yeah, I think mainly worried about actually turning up as well, because the problem with the King George the past few years is maybe that the Irish Challenge has been a couple of interesting Irish Challengers who decided to go and stay for Leopardstown.
Yeah.
I think Vator is the worry. Again, it depends what they do with Koenigsegg, because...
That was going to be the next thing. They're favouring the King George, aren't they? The Brad Sox.
Yeah. I think Gordon Elliott would always fear a Mullins horse more than anything else. He has been his a thorn in his side for numerous races over the past few years.
And
Koenigsegg's a bit of a different proposition. There's still an air of, is Koenigsegg real? I think, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is this really happening? Does he keep doing this?
Yeah.
How old is he? What, 3, 4? he's going to be more worried about Vator because he knows more about him. But it should be an absolutely cracking race. It should be the best King George for years if everything turns up.
Yeah, because then you add into the mix Q Card, who looks a revitalised performer this year.
Yeah.
Sylvaniaco Conti, a previous winner of the race.
Yeah, who's obviously, made for this kind of test.
Smad Place if he turns up the Hennessy winner.
Yeah, who's looked a completely revitalised performer.
Yeah. Yeah, last year's Gold Cup runner-up in Jack Adam, if he turns up, I'm not sure he will, but if they all...
Alpha Roth, who always runs a good race in that as well, he'll probably run the same race as he has the past 2 years and finish sixth instead of third.
Yeah.
So, it should be amazing. I do hope Koenigsegg turns up. If the first six in the betting turn up, it's possibly one of the best races, one of the best jumps races I've seen in years.
Yeah, it's Christmas Day a day late.
It is, yeah.
They all turn up.
And it'll be, and you've got a supporting 9 or 10 cards as well to to really enjoy.
Yeah. All that to look forward to on Boxing Day. If I pushed you for one selection now, Ross, I said you've got to have a bet in this race. What would you go with?
Well, the problem is that the surprise is I think Don Cossack has been made for this test for a good 12 months, but he's 5-2 favourite, so that would be the slight worry. But he's just really... Everything he had, all that raw potential, all that talent, has really come together. and the King George has always been the obvious crowning moment for him, I think. Yeah. So I would side with Doncaster, but again, he is 5-2. That said, if a few of them do pull out, he might be 6-4. So
yeah. Yeah, that's how you play the anti-post game.
Well, yeah, well, I don't really. I think it's increasingly difficult with so many different options, and it's not as obvious as it used to be in terms of what horses will go for what. And so, I just hope they all turn up. Hope they'll make it safe.
Nice. Anything else, Ross, on your mind, or should we get stuck into Wednesday?
Nothing to do with jumps racing.
Right.
Just there's always all weather on the mind, but you know.
What's on your mind for the all weather?
Oh, nothing in particular, just in general. Just ticking away at the back.
Right.
Just ticking over. So
your subconscious is all weather racing.
It is all yeah. My subconscious is full of dirt.
Right, well on that note, let's move on. Wednesday's racing is up next. Ross has got four races for us.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start with a couple of races at Newbury. The 12:40 is the first of them. This one is a Class 3 limited handicap chase over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. A field of 10 here, Ross. And we'll start with Blame It All On My Roots, if we may, because made a winning chase debut last time.
Yeah, she did. Over at Bangor, in heavy ground. But this is a lot tougher. She's mainly raced against her own sex last year. She pulled out enough to win, and Subtle Grey, who was beaten out of sight, has come out and won since. But she's consistent, which I like. She comes from a yard who are having a good time of it at the moment in terms of Oliver Sherwood. But I think this is a little bit tougher. Delgany Demon interests me. He ran a good race last time out over at Ascot and before that over at Exeter as well. He's getting a little bit better and he's full of stamina, which might mean that this is not quite as much of a test for him as you would have liked. The one I'm going to go for is Woof, who is starting to get frustrating, I'll be honest with you. I thought he would make a nice chaser, and it's not quite worked out as it stands. He's not been the best jumper in the past for Tom George over fences, but he's gone to Paul Nichols. I know he's central favourite here, and he disappointed. Will Biddick was on him that day, and he got badly hampered by a faller. Sam Twiston Davis takes over this afternoon, and he gets given another chance. And I think Woof has still got plenty of potential, although if he was to come up short here, we might start to reevaluate just how much of that potential he's going to realise.
Okay. I kind of find it hard to get a handle on Paul Nichols at the moment, particularly with horses that he's had from the likes of Tom George, because you'd expect them to improve for the first run and it's not necessarily been as easy as that.
No. But then they've all been heavily backed. It's almost people are anticipating that, and again, it's not necessarily the case. He might well be just working them out. Mm. They're obviously horses who haven't gone through with their potential for previous connections. And it might just be, you know, a run to... I mean, Paul Nichols is a great proponent of a good old-fashioned wind operation.
Yeah.
And unless you run it, you're not going to know. So he might be running them thinking, do we need to do anything? Let's just see what's under the bonnet. Getting them home, asking the jockey, seeing how they come out of it. And then going to war from there on in. So, yeah, I think he's a bit more of a patient trainer than the market's necessarily giving him credit for with these horses.
All right, well, for the selection then in the 12:40. Moving on to the 150 at Newbury next. This one is a Class 4 handicap chase. It's over 2 miles. We've got a field of 7 here, Ross. And, again, similar story here. Alo Dallo made a winning chase debut last time. How do you think he'll get on this time?
Yeah, he was very impressive, Alo Dallo. Was, again, a frustrating hurdler. He showed all sorts of ability, but just didn't quite go through with it. He was out-battled by Woof, for example, at Uttoxeter, and a couple of runs in Novice and then Handicap Company. You weren't quite sure exactly what was going to happen with Alo Dallo, but a former 3-mile point-to-point winner goes over fences and absolutely bolts up at Huntingdon last time out. Went up £9, but that's more than reasonable. Josh Moore retains the ride. And this doesn't seem that much more difficult in terms of opposition. The obvious opposition is Exmoor Mist, who won nicely at Leicester last time out, albeit in much better conditions. His form looks good. He was beaten by Javert, who's gone in again the other day at Doncaster, so that form looks good, but the worry is horses like Alo Dallo from yards like Jonjo O'Neill, you're not quite sure whether they're going to back up those wins, especially as that came off the back of a 6-month break. he might well have been fit and well and raring to go first time out. If there was an overpriced horse, Trezor de Bonte would be slight of interest. He was quite well back for a soft ground race at Lingfield the other day. But he's been dropped to 120 and he's down in grade. So if he was a decent price, I'd probably back Trezor de Bonte. I think the conditions are ideal. Richard Johnson on board for Kerry Lee. It's rock solid partnership. He's won on this horse in the past. He'd probably be the angle in, but Allo Dallo's the one to beat.
Okay. Moving to Ludlow next for their 240. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles and 7.5 furlongs. Just a note as well, if you're having a bet at Ludlow, we've got special offers on throughout December here at William Hill. And if you have a bet at Ludlow, your horse finishes second, you get that money back as a free bet for up to £25 in all races at Ludlow with more than five or more runners. So do take advantage of that this December. The 240 though, Ross, what do you like?
About six of them. That's the problem.
It is competitive, isn't it?
It's a really good race. Mm. Catco's going to take some beating. Beat Southfield Vic last time out into a handicap here for the first time after that win, and obviously a very talented hurdler. You've got Red Devil Lads coming off the back of a break as well after a couple of wins at Foss Lass earlier on in the season. But again, he'll probably need a run. Handy Andy ran a really nice race on his penultimate start. I thought he'd run well at Fontwell the other day, but he blundered his chance away. Good to Know was beaten by an improving sort last time out as well. And then you've got Gallery Exhibition and What a Warrior. I'm probably just going to go with What a Warrior, who's had some pretty tough tasks since winning a couple of good races at the back end of last season. But he ran a really nice race on his return. He was fourth last time out behind Pendra over at Ascot. That form looks pretty good. He wouldn't want the ground too soft. That would be the slight worry for What a Warrior, but he's got course form here. And Gallery Exhibition is also going to take some beating as well, although there's been a few Kim Bailey horses who've come out and not necessarily followed up their impressive wins recently, and that would be the slight worry for me for Gallery Exhibition. But I'll go with What a Warrior with Catco probably the biggest danger.
What a Warrior then for Ross in the 240 at Ludlow, and we finish off in the 610 at Kempton Park. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile, 13 of them here, and wouldn't be a podcast with you, Ross, if we didn't talk about an all-weather race.
Well, it'd be rude not to, wouldn't it? I would have talked about four all-weather races if it had my way. Firmament, probably the most interesting horse here. David O'Mara's charge, formerly with Jerry Minasida, made a really nice debut for the yard at Chelmsford last time out. Things didn't quite go to plan. He ran a huge race from a very wide draw. There's bound to be more to come from him. But it was the kind of run that is obvious and people will have definitely spotted. A couple of Godolphin horses in here as well. Elusive Guest as well. Pearl Spectre coming off the back of a big absence now. Starting life, you know, off the back of a two-year absence. But he's two from two on the all-weather. But I'm going to take a complete flyer here with Loyalty, who I backed last time out behind Steel the Scene over seven furlongs here at Kempton. But he was forced to make his own running. There was no pace whatsoever. And things just didn't go to plan. But he's much, much better over a mile on the all-weather. And he's put in some really good figures recently that suggest he's still got a bit of class about him. He's off a mark of 80, which means a drop to a 0-80 around Lingfield is probably his angle at some point. But I couldn't help back him at double figure odds because I would be kicking myself if he won.
All right, good stuff, Ross. Let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your four selections one more time.
Yeah, we'll go for Woof in the 1240 at Newbury. We'll go for Trezor de Bonte in the 150 at Newbury. What a Warrior in the 240 at Ludlow. And Loyalty in the 610 at Kempton.
Nice one. Thanks, Ross. Good luck. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
Good luck with you, Mark, just in life.
Thanks. There you go. The thoughts of Ross Briley on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:20 a.m. Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott, the team in the studio, for the meetings at Lingfield, at Ludlow, Newbury in the afternoon and Kempton Park in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.